All that time you spent on Kamino, yet you learned nothing about how clones think. I knew Clone Force 99 would eventually attempt to recover Omega. Their failure is inevitable.
All this for the young clone. I fail to see how she's of value to you.
What I am working on is beyond your understanding. Something so vital to the Empire, it makes me indispensable. Unlike yourself.
Greetings once again, Bucketheads. Mevar Tigar. Welcome to our 253rd Clone Force 99 concluding episode of MandoVision. I am your host, Nargai Tom. Thank you so much for checking out this small independent Star Wars podcast. We are so glad you're here. Reach out to us on the socials. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. You can email the show at MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share the show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. Everyone, we are here. The day is upon us. The final episode, the series finale of Star Wars The Bad Batch. And let me tell you, this is definitely an action-packed episode of the show. It has got a lot of our storylines getting wrapped up and concluded in violent fashion. And yeah, I was here for all of it. It didn't quit. You know, we got a little over our skis getting into certain storylines and certain topics and seeing where they may or may not go heading into this finale. And so I think maybe a lot of people will be a little disappointed in some regards because, again, that's what we do. When we start expecting things, it inevitably leads to disappointment. And so we'll talk a little bit about that because, you know, I'm no different. I bought into some of the hype. Some of the stuff seemed to be hinted at very strongly in the show, and we'll talk about it right now. You know, no tech, it didn't happen, and I love that they left it alone. That makes me so very, very happy. It underlines the sacrifice that he made. They didn't negate that when at the end of here of season two, when he made the sacrifice that he made. It doesn't cheapen that. So as much as we may have talked and speculated about Tech being CX-2 or any of the other CX troopers, I love that he wasn't any of them, and that he stayed where we thought he probably rightly so should have be staying in the grave to honor that sacrifice that he made for his brothers and for Omega. And more importantly, as we probably learned, we should have learned this from the Ahsoka show. It didn't matter who was in the CX armor; they didn't care. Just they were obstacles to be overcome, and it mattered not to Clone Force 99 when it came to rescuing themselves and rescuing Omega. As spoilers, as the CX troopers are fairly quickly, by all measures of the show, dispatched in a very permanent fashion. We don't get into the nitty gritty of what Project Necromancer has going on, what Hemlock is doing exactly specifically. We don't sort of pull it apart. But that's okay. We had the broad strokes. We had the general idea. And Hemlock meets his ultimate fate. We get Nala Se attempting to make sure that the Kaminoan technology and Kaminoan research on cloning doesn't fall into the hands of the Empire. We get Rampart attempting to gain leverage so that he can work his way back into the Empire. And that storylines, those two storylines come to tie together and come to another dramatic resolution as well. So we're wrapping things up. Big things are happening here. The Zilla Beast, let's be honest, I thought the Zilla Beast might have a bigger role to play in this episode. Not so much. The Zilla Beast does its damage, does what it needs to do, and then moves out into the forest and in the jungle to do what it wants to do with the rest of its life, at least for the time being, until Palpatine sends out more people to try and reclaim it. Again, there's a lot going on here. Yeah, Emery Carr and Skaldar, the whole thing. You know, we thought these things might go in a little bit of a different direction, and just because they didn't doesn't mean it's not great and enjoyable, because it was. This was a very satisfactory, very satisfying conclusion. Does it put a bow on every single thing? No, it certainly does not. And as I had hoped, it doesn't quite lead into a continuation of this avenue of Star Wars storytelling, which I would have loved to get a little tease on that. But maybe it's not to be. Maybe this is the sort of the end of the clone storyline. I think there's more to tell, honestly, for the clones. You know, what Rex has going on with his sort of underground railroad for getting clones out of the Empire. I think that's a fascinating story, and would love to kind of get into that a little bit more. But we'll see how things shake out. Again, May the 4th is right around the corner. Possibly we'll be getting some announcements on that day. At the very least, we get the Tales of the Empire animated series to watch. So we'll see what happens. And I guess that's my question to everybody, is how did you feel about this finale? Did it wrap up the way you wanted it to? Did it stick the landing? I think it stuck the landing. Again, not necessarily in the way that I sort of envisioned it doing, but it hit where it needed to hit. It got done what it needed to get done. And it sort of gives us, in his closing moments, it sort of shows us something a little bit different for Star Wars than maybe what we're accustomed to. And we'll talk about that moment when we get to it towards the end. So I think it's time. We need to go ahead and get into the episode proper, because it's a big one. It's a big episode. A lot to talk about. Let's go ahead and get the particulars out of the way. This is Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 15, the series finale. The Cavalry has arrived. Original air date, May 1st, 2024. Hey, that's today. How about that, folks? Written by Jennifer Corbett, directed by Stuart Lee, Saul Ruiz, and Brad Rao. Our cast for this week, D. Bradley Baker is The Bad Batch. Michelle Ang is Omega. Helen Sadler is Dr. Skaldar. Evan Sinitsin is Jax. Jeffrey Bohm returns. Jimmy Simpson is Dr. Royce Hemlock. Keisha Castle Hughes is Emery Carr. You got, Naya Padilla as Sammy. Nasheer Dalal returns as Rampart. Owen Whelan as Eva. Shelby Young as Bairn. Steven Stanton is so many people in this episode. It's an incredible voice cast. Kind of taking their curtain call for what could be the end of an entire era of Star Wars storytelling. We'll wait to see about that. I sure hope not, but it could be. This could be the concluding element of what has been an exceptional animated trilogy with Clone Wars and Rebels and now The Bad Batch. We'll wait and see. Our plot for this week's episode, Omega and the Batch, battle Imperial forces for their freedom. All right, Bucketheads, let's go ahead. Let's do what we do best. It's time. Strap on your buckets. Let's go.
The kids who are held in here, where'd they come from?
The Empire used bounty hunters to retrieve them. Their genetic material was required for certain medical testing. I didn't know about them until recently. I couldn't help them. Until now.
Well, how does Omega fit into all this?
She's vital to Hemlock's main objective for the Emperor. Project Necromancer.
Don't like the sound of that.
So, as our episode starts, we have the Imperial still scouring the jungle outside of the labs, the base, Mount Tantus, looking for Clone Force 99. Inside, Echo has managed to infiltrate and is now teamed up with Emery Carr in an effort to rescue the children from the vault. And Omega, not waiting around, not cooling her heels, launches her own escape plan with the children in the vault, climbing through the walls into the facility, and ultimately freeing the Zilla Beast, possibly the longest lingering plot thread from Star Wars The Clone Wars. And it's awesome. It's amazing. It's great. I love the stuff with Clone Force 99 out in the jungle. I loved Echo and Carr teaming up together. I thought that was really great stuff. Again, I played that clip as they're walking through the chamber towards the vault, kind of getting Echo up to speed on everything, what's going on with these kids. And then, of course, the freeing of the Zilla Beast by Omega. Just so well executed. A great scene as the tank is draining and the Zilla Beast eye opens up and carnage is unleashed upon the Imperials in this lab. And now they are the diversion that Omega wanted is now in play. And I love seeing the Zilla Beast back in action. I love seeing it destroying this facility, working its way around. Again, I thought it may have a little bit of a bigger role to play in their ultimate escape. But, you know, you get the Zilla Beast causing damage for the next 10, 15 minutes or so of the episode before it scampers off, exits the facility, and makes its way out into the heart of the planet to do what it does, at least until Palpatine decides he wants his pet Zilla back. And, you know, that's the ultimate question. Does the Zilla Beast get a happy ending here? In the finale of Star Wars The Bad Batch, who's to say? Some mysteries remain to this day. I want to go back a scotch just to when Omega and the kids had to pull a fast one, had to trick Dr. Sadler, right? I love Omega reprogramming the droid and then watching as that droid slowly circles around Dr. Sadler before it gives her a sedative that knocks her unconscious so that the children can make their way out into the wood, out into the wall to make their way escape into the facility. What I also really liked is once Echo and Emery arrive in the vault, Sadler's already awake and being escorted out by stormtroopers, and Hemlock is there, and he is not happy at all. And we assume that Dr. Sadler will be meeting a dark, dark fate. So, again, got that wrong as far as a sort of final confrontation between Sadler and Carr, as Omega seems to have taken care of that for Emery. And there you go. So, I mean, again, one of those things. I was like, oh, that's definitely going to happen. Sadler and Carr, they're going to duke it out for the fate of these children. No, not so much. Omega takes care of that and eliminates an obstacle from Emery helping Echo and ultimately the children get away. But again, Echo and Emery are just kind of like playing hot pursuit at this point, you know? Omega's got her plan and it's working to a T so far. So things don't seem to be looking too good for the Imperials right now. Let's check in as Scorch gives Dr. Hemlock an update on what is going on.
Zilla breached the bay doors and fled to the jungle, after wiping out two full divisions of troopers. We need reinforcements.
Send the shuttles after the Zilla.
But, sir, without air support, the rogue clones could exploit our weakened defenses.
Of course they will. Do it.
You gotta appreciate Hemlock's confidence that this is also gonna turn out his way. And, you know, again, talking about Hemlock, we know his ultimate fate now in this episode, and we still don't get a lot of his backstory, his history. And I'm wondering if that'll be something that is eventually shared with us through another set of Star Wars, you know, Tales of whatever, animated shows or something along those lines. Because I would imagine Hemlock has a pretty interesting story, you know. We really did focus on that bad hand of his, and we never really got an answer or an explanation or any of that stuff. So there's more to his story. It's just sort of a question of if we get it and when we get it. Because I'm definitely curious. I, you know, what did he do to earn favor with the Emperor? There's a lot to Hemlock's story that I think we should get to learn at some point. Obviously, he did something to persuade the Emperor that he needed to be in charge of this project, that he was going to be the one to see to the finish line and deliver what we assume is a vital and healthy clone body that Palpatine can transfer his essence into in his quest for immortality. And unlimited power. All that good stuff. So, I'd like to see more of Hemlock's story, but I love the sort of arrogance that he's still running with high in this episode, despite the fact that the Zilla Beast has already done some serious damage. He still has plans for Clone Force 99, and he will see them through to the end. And in order to see that happen, his next move is to go and release all of the CX troopers he has ready to go, and including number two, who we've become so familiar with and speculated wildly about here on this show and the internet at large. So, and all for naught. Did Maruk teach us nothing, friends? Did he teach us nothing? That sometimes who's under the helmet means nothing. That seems to be this new Star Wars swerve. Put a character in a helmet, build up, let the internet build up its speculation, and then completely trash that character with no revelation whatsoever. And I'm kind of here for it. I'm kind of into it. But yeah, the CXs are going to be released, and they are a epic, formidable fighting force, and they're about to cause some serious trouble for our heroes in their escape efforts. So after a really great action sequence, Crosshair, Wrecker, and Hunter are taken down by the CX troopers, and now they're being carted off to a facility. Luckily, Echo and Emery see their bodies being taken.
Is that the rest of your squad?
Yeah. Where are they being taken?
I don't know. But Hemlock will keep them well guarded.
I can handle that. But we have to find the children first.
The science hangar is up ahead.
So yeah, Emery and Echo have a pretty darn good idea where they're going to find the kids. And of course, they are going to find the kids. But now there's a complication because Clone Force 99 is still there. And they're not leaving without anybody, right?
Wait, where are Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair?
They're detained.
You mean captured?
For now. Can you fly that shuttle?
Yes. Why?
Take the kids to these coordinates. We'll meet you there.
You're not coming with us? There are more prisoners inside, including my brothers. I can't leave without them. Don't worry. Emery's taking you someplace safe. We'll meet you there.
Here. This will help you access all wings of the facility.
Look after them.
You have my word. Be careful, Omega.
All right, so part of Omega's plan works out to a T. Emery Carr is going to take the children away. They're heading off to Pabu. Because why not? Let's just go to Pabu and hang out at the beach. We'll talk about Pabu later. And so now it's back into the facility to rescue her brothers. And that effectively is like kind of the end point of this first episode, basically, because this is a long episode. It's basically two shows smashed together, which I loved. Thank you for doing that, everybody. But now it's back. It's time for Omega to rescue her brothers the way that she initially they rescued her. And I love Omega's level of self-reliance and agency in this episode. It's really good stuff. And I love that her plans are all working out. She's almost a better technician at this point than Hunter and everybody else. All right, now we'll catch up with Hemlock in the lab attempting to convert Clone Force 99 into the next wave of CX troopers.
The last time we crossed paths, you had just lost a member of your squad. And it appears history may repeat itself. CT-9904 resisted my conditioning in the past, but I've made alterations to my methods. If you all survive, you will make fine operatives. And if not, well, there's no shortage of clones to test on next.
We'll survive. But you won't.
I love threats. I'm into that. That's good stuff right there. So Echo and Omega don't quite know where to go to find the rest of Clone Force 99. But they do find the rest of the clone prisoners, and so they begin to free everybody, and that includes Nala Se and Rampart, who Rampart's now going to be given his opportunity. And I think he's sort of, once he gets in that cell and he sees Nala Se across the way, I think he begins to hatch some plans of his own to kind of get back in the good graces. We knew that Rampart would not stay on the side of angels forever. And so he begins to see an opportunity here, even as these clones all gather and gain their freedom. And Echo is going to make a big, big ask.
We gave up hope that anyone was coming to help us. We've been looking for the space for a while.
Echo, I searched all the cells. They're not here.
Who?
The rest of our squad. They were grabbed by Hemlock's operatives.
Where else would he take them?
Well, they could be in the training room. It's where Hemlock conditions the clones he deems useful.
I think I know where that is. Follow me.
Are you joking? The wisest course of action is to leave while we can.
Clones don't leave our brothers behind. Listen. I know you've all been through enough. You deserve your freedom. But Omega and I can't do this alone. Is anyone willing to stand with us?
I will. I've got one more fight left in me.
Me too. I'll stand with you.
Good. You two, get the engine to the hangar and secure a shuttle. I'll trigger an alert in a different wing and reroute their troops. The rest of you, grab any weapon you can.
Omega.
All right, good stuff. You're getting fired up, aren't you? Again, the cavalry has arrived, have they not? And I love Echo yelling at Rampart. All of it. It's so good. And again, we're building to that big action-packed climactic finale here. And so we have to get ready for all the good stuff. All right, we're going to go ahead and play this scene here between Omega and Nala Se, as Nala Se is about to lay out her mission objectives now that she's free from her cell. And I think it's fair to say that we all sort of knew Nala Se was near her end. And she's pretty much putting that out right here on Front Street for Omega right now.
Omega, I must not allow my science to remain in the Empire's hands. The only way you will be free is if Hemlock is gone and the data banks are destroyed.
Then let's get to the lab.
No. Your place is with them.
You'll need this.
So we didn't even talk about that part necessarily. When Emery gives Omega the datapad so that she can access the rest of the facility, and now Omega gives the datapad to Nala Se, much like Nala Se gave it to her initially. So it's all kind of coming full circle here. Really cool. And again, I think Nala Se is sort of telling Omega that this is the end for her, because she's not going to be a pawn of the Empire anymore, and that Hemlock has to go for Omega to be free. We're getting the rest of this episode kind of laid out, all of our objectives, what we need to do, what we need to accomplish right here. And again, Nala Se, I think, consigned to her fate. She will not be a prisoner of the Empire again. They will not use her again. They will not manipulate her again. They will not access her brain in some other fashion to get the information that she needs. I think Nalase's plan all along is to die here with the Kaminoan science that the Empire has its hands on now. Meanwhile, Hemlock getting into a bit of trouble. Clearly, Tarkin has spies amongst the people of Tantus, because he's getting information that I would think Hemlock would have done a better job of keeping very compartmentalized. So let's go ahead and check in on Hemlock kind of getting chewed out here by Tarkin. And just as that's all happening, by the way, just remember that Rampart is about to make his own little plans as well. But here we go, Tarkin and Hemlock.
I hear you've lost control of the Zillow Beast, and that your facility is under threat. The Emperor is most concerned.
I have the situation under control.
Do you? We shall soon see. You can expect my arrival shortly.
And that can't be good for anybody. So there's a lot happening here as we begin to kind of reach the apex of the episode here. Echo and Omega are going to lead the now freed clones into that training room to rescue Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair. But, of course, Hemlock and his CX troops are going to get the drop. A battle will ensue. Hemlock will believe that he has the upper hand yet again as he recaptures Omega temporarily. And Rampart has sort of gotten the drop on Nala Se back in the lab. He's followed her to the lab, and now he wants her to divulge all the things that she knows about Project Necromancer. So let's go ahead and check in with them before we get back to the action.
This has been very enlightening. Who knew a child could be so valuable?
You never understood the complexities of cloning.
Oh, your science means nothing to me. It's a mere bargaining chip. And if this is as vital as Hemlock said, the Empire should be willing to give me anything to get it back.
My work will never belong to you or the Empire. It will always be Kaminoan.
Not any longer.
I love that. I love that so much. Rampart thinking that he's back in control, back in charge. So he blasts Nalase. He's got a prime thermal detonator in her hand. Oh, and it just so happens to fall into his feet. Far too late for him to do anything about it. So the end of Nalase, the end of Rampart, and more importantly, the end of the Kaminoan cloning technology that Palpatine was so dependent on for his plans for Project Necromancer. Awesome. Awesome stuff. All right, the rescue attempt is not going so well for Echo and the freed clones. Again, Omega with Hemlock and his forces up on top of that platform. Ooh, it's not looking good.
Their efforts have failed. Predictably so.
Sir, there's been an explosion in the central lab. It's been destroyed.
You failed too. Your dad is gone.
But I still have you.
You're forgetting one thing. I have them.
All right, part two of the battle as Wrecker wakes up and springs into action, busting out of his medical pod. And again, another wave of intense action begins in this episode. It's all awesome. It's so great. And this is when we start seeing the CX troopers who we had put so much import on. You know, who's under those helmets? Who could it possibly be? It matters not, as they are dispatched by Clone Force 99. And they don't bother to check who's under the helmets afterwards either. And this is a big episode in the sense that, you know, for the majority of the time, for the majority of the duration of the show, the clones haven't really gone. Clone Force 99 hasn't really tried to kill other clones. They've used stun blasts a lot to knock out clones. The only other, you know, the only troops they've really have been engaged in a lot of open fire with have been the new wave of stormtroopers, not their brothers. This episode sort of marks the end of that because, again, the stakes are way too high to be pulling your punches. And that is what they kind of stopped doing here with the CX troopers. There's no time to pull the punches. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, Crosshair getting his hand cut off yet, which is that's pretty intense stuff, too. Again, the violence in this episode is pretty much off the charts, but it's all excellent. It's so well executed. It's stellar Star Wars. That's all I can say about it. So yeah, check out this action scene. We're not gonna play a lot of clips from it because it's way too intense. I can't handle that kind of intensity right now. So Hemlock's dashed off with Omega. He's taking Scorch with him for protection, while Wrecker and the rest of the clones square off against the CX troopers. All right, well, this is a great sequence here. This is I can't even tell you. I love it. It's raining on Tantus. We're on a platform. We're getting all the classic Star Wars elements into play here. Hemlock calls for his shuttle to come over. And just as it arrives in the area, that's when Crosshair and Wrecker, Crosshair and Hunter show up, blast his engine out, destroy the ship. They then take out Scorch with a couple shots to the chest, and then he falls over the railing. And now it's Hemlock holding Omega as a hostage, as like a human shield. But it's not a very good one.
You won't get past them.
They won't risk hurting you.
Neither will you. You need me alive.
And that's pretty much putting it on the money. And I love this shot right here, this next, because it's Hunter, Crosshair staring him down, Crosshair leaning on the back, on the shoulder of Hunter to steady his arm because he's now firing with his opposite hand, which is, I think, a really neat little twist for Crosshair, letting you know that, yeah, you know what? He lost his trigger hand, but guess what? Still pretty good with that left one as well. And so now Omega's pointed out all the fallacies here that it doesn't matter. Hemlock's in a situation where he can't win because they know that Hemlock can't hurt Omega. He needs her for all the research moving forward. But it's a great standoff nonetheless. Great action. And it shows the sort of camaraderie, the bond that these characters have with each other here as Hunter assures Crosshair. And I'm going to play this sequence now because it's excellent. All right, here it is.
Shoot the binders. I can't. They're too close. If I'm off, I can't risk Omega.
She knows what to do, Crosshair. Wait for her, then take the shot.
And that is the end of Dr. Hemlock, my friends. A great moment as that Kevin Kiner score builds to a crescendo, and Crosshair makes the shot with his left hand. Again, sort of a, not necessarily like a redemptive moment for him, but not doubting Omega, not doubting himself. Crosshair's confidence back in action. He hits the binders, and then they just blow away Hemlock, and it's awesome. Again, a spectacularly violent episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch right here, friends. A lot of people dying in this one, and it's glorious. So that's that. The rest of the clones, Clone Force 99 and Omega, will now make their way out of the facility. No more obstacles in their path. And the facility far more intact than I had maybe expected it to be at the conclusion of this episode. I sort of expected big explosions and for this facility to be leveled, and that secondary facility that we've seen behind it to sort of become the primary. Not so much. It's a little bit, like I said, a little bit more intact than I expected. But now with Hemlock gone, all of his CX troopers, the Imperial commandos that were on the base gone, Tarkin arrives, and he very quickly makes an assessment. And I think we all know what he wants. It was hinted at when he first popped up this season on the show. Let's just hear him cement it.
Governor Tarkin, I have completed my assessment. Various wings of the base sustained heavy damage. Dr. Hemlock and several troopers perished in the attack.
Was any of his research salvageable?
No, Governor. The databanks were destroyed.
Hemlock's failings have cost us enough. Shutter this facility indefinitely and redistribute all funding to Project Stardust.
Yeah, oh, that Tarkin. He's so obsessed with his Death Star. So now we cut back to Pabu, where everyone has sort of rallied together, clones and the Force-sensitive children, at least temporarily. all the survivors of Hemlock's emotional wreckage that he caused are here on Pabu. And so I have to wonder, is Pabu really still safe? Now, they're going to give us an answer, which is apparently so. So I sort of wonder if just, is it as clear-cut as Nala Se laid it out? With Hemlock gone, all this is irrelevant now. The Empire's moved on. It's shifted its focus to Project Stardust, a.k.a. the Death Star. And now Pabu's back off the radar so that people can live out their lives. And that seems to be the case. But let's go ahead and talk it out, because we got some important stuff coming up here for the clones. Something we've been talking about since we started doing our Star Wars The Clone Wars rewatches. And Emery and Echo are about to kind of sound it all out. So let's go ahead and play it.
They've adapted quickly.
Kids are resilient.
A childhood's not something we ever had. Our lives have never been our own.
Until now. I'm heading to Pantora to help get some of the clones settled. I'm sure Senator Chuchi would find what you have to say very helpful to our cause.
I have a lot to make up for. I'd like to help out however I can.
So So that's a big, big piece of what we've always been talking about here with the clones. Now, it would seem to be the war is over for the clones. They can now live their lives and make their own choices on things, like for Rex. Rex is going to continue the fight. But for Clone Force 99, they're going to make the other decision. They're going to stay here on Pabu. They're going to live out their lives and watch Omega grow up. They're going to be as close as you can be to a normal family in Star Wars now.
What about the rest of the clones? Will they stay here on Pabu?
Well, it's up to them. They're free to follow their own paths. We've all fought enough battles for one lifetime. Now, we get to choose who we want to be.
Like what?
Whatever we want, kid. Whatever we want.
That's just beautiful, isn't it? That's what we've been wanting for the clones since this all started. And it's finally upon us, at least for some. Again, they're making their own choices now. They're living for themselves. Yes, the accelerated aging program, still a problem, but doing what they can. And a nice moment there for Omega and for Hunter and Wrecker and Crosshair will soon follow for the nice family shot to close out this scene. And that's the episode, right? Happy ending for everybody. Not so fast, my friends. We get a little bit of an epilogue here. Because, again, our mission statement is now, it's out there. It's confirmed. The clones get to live their lives, and they're going to make their own choices. And now we get a time jump. We come back to Pabu some years later, down the line. And it's clear what Clone Force 99 chose. They chose to stay on Pabu, to be part of that community, and to be a family there with Omega to watch her grow up. And now we catch up with an older Omega now. I can't speculate how many years it's been. But we know the timeline pretty darn well, as we're about to find out here. She's down in the caverns, queuing up another getting ready to make her way out. But Hunter knows his adopted daughter pretty darn well. Or maybe sister's more accurate. We should be clear. Like, they never really stated that father-daughter relationship between the two, and they've always referred to each other, Omega in particular, as her brothers. But again, the bond between them, like a father and daughter, is definitely the strongest between them.
Thought you could just sneak off? Time hasn't dulled all my senses.
This shouldn't be a surprise. The Rebellion needs pilots now more than ever. I made my choice, Hunter. I want to do more.
And we want to keep you safe.
You have. But I'm not a kid anymore. You don't have to worry about me.
You're our kid, Omega. You always will be.
Hunter, you've all fought enough. This? It's my fight. I'm ready.
Yeah, I know you are. But I'm not.
It's a beautiful moment. I don't know what else to tell you guys. But I love the sort of closing out of one war and the transitioning to another. Again, it's very Star Wars-like. But the idea that Clone Force 99 isn't going to get wrapped up in this, that they're done, their fight is done, it's over. They can just be themselves and be retired. And now it's time for Omega to pick up the blaster, as it were, to be a pilot for the Rebellion, to put an end to the Empire. Again, we always knew that Omega would have... we shouldn't say always, because we speculated on Omega's fate for quite some time. But it's very in her character to want to do more, to want to join the Rebellion and to continue the fight against the Empire. So it's one of the rare times in Star Wars where we get this lovely transition between the generations, where not everyone has to fight and be in conflict all the time. Hunter, Crosshair, and Wrecker will live out the last of their days on Pabu as part of this community that they helped establish, that they helped, I shouldn't say establish, not the right word, but that they joined and became vital members of. And now it's time for Omega to pick it up. a sort of a generational transition in the Star Wars universe, which doesn't seem to be something that we do very often, as our heroes in Star Wars are constantly dragged from one battle to another, endlessly in a cyclical Star Wars storytelling sort of fashion. Here's one of those rare times where we get our heroes, they can pump the brakes, they can relax, they can enjoy the end of their wars. But of course, the next generation has to pick it up to continue. There's always going to be a fight in Star Wars, hence the name Star Wars. But a lovely, lovely moment to kind of close out the episode. But just before departing, Hunter does tell Omega that, hey, if you ever do need us, oh, we'll be there for you. And that is the concluding moments of Star Wars The Bad Batch, the rising score of Kevin Kiner and his cohorts. Just close out the episode beautifully, and we watch as, again, we shift from one war to another. And again, I really enjoyed this finale. It didn't quite hit me as hard as I thought it might. I thought there might be more sacrifice and death on the horizon for our heroes, but that wasn't to be. And I think that makes a lot of sense. That's sort of apropos of this whole family unit that they've been going for this entire series. So a really nice moment there as that family unit kind of coalesces at the very end of the show. And then we get our time jump to Omega getting back into the fight. So did the show answer every single question we had? No, of course not. No, it did not. But did it need to? It did not as well. And anything that's lingering, again, I'd like to think that maybe there'll be another installment of something in this kind of Dave Filoni-led animated era of Star Wars. But I'm not so sure, because, I mean, this does sort of wrap up as a nice little trilogy. But we'll find out, I would suspect, very, very soon, with May the 4th just around the corner. And, of course, Tales of the Empire coming soon to give us all the details we need on Morgan Elsbeth and Barriss Offee. And I can't wait for that. So I give the episode, I'm going to give it 9.5 buckets because it is pretty darn great. I really enjoyed watching it actually the second time around a little bit more than the first because, again, my expectations had been adjusted based on what I knew I was getting. So I give it 9.5 buckets. It's a really great finale. Does it hit as hard as that season 7 finale for Star Wars The Clone Wars or the finale for Rebels? I don't think it hits quite as hard as that. It's a little bit more bittersweet this time around. But I did really, really enjoy it. It just hits a little different, you know? And that is to be commended. I will miss these characters. I will miss these actors who bring these characters to life. That's why I hope that maybe they're not gone forever. Maybe just a little pause, a little break for them. Because The Bad Batch has become one of my favorite shows. Again, I think if you go back to when I was first starting the show, it was a little bit of a slow build for me to kind of get attached the way that I wanted to, but it happened. I got there, and by the end, yeah, it delivered. It hit everything it needed to hit, and in my opinion, it sucked the landing. But do you disagree? Was there things you didn't get that you needed to have that weren't delivered upon? Let me know. You know where to find me. Hit me up on those socials at @Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. Email the show mandovisiontom@gmail.com. You know where to hit me up. Let me know if you enjoyed this series finale episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch. I would love to hear from you. All right, I teased it a little bit before, but since we have this episode now locked and loaded and in the banks, ready to go, that means next week we'll be talking about Tales of the Empire, and I can't wait. We're going to get into all of it, probably all of it at once, so it may be a doozy of an episode. We'll see what we can do. It may, you know, again, I don't know. We'll see how the episodes play out when I actually get to watch them. We may split up into two parts. We'll handle Morgan Elsbeth. Maybe we'll handle Boris Barriss Offee separately. We'll just see how it comes together. All right, friends. With that being said, I want to thank every single member of Buckethead Nation for taking the time to download, stream, share, and support this show. It truly, truly means the world to me. You guys are the best. I want you to go and continue to be the best. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the Mandovision Podcast, and I'm your host, Nargai Tom. Check us out on all the platforms. Give us those sweet, sweet, sweet 5-star reviews. We appreciate that. Bucketheads, go out there. Tell everyone about the Bad Batch. Tell them they don't know what they're missing. Get them on the same page as the rest of us, okay? All right, and we'll be back next week to talk about Star Wars Tales of the Empire. So stay tuned. But in the meantime, remember, this podcast can only end one way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I would like to see the baby.